Good morning, Blackhawk Church. Good to see you. Good to worship with you. Y'all stand and join us in singing. And to those of you joining us online, welcome. Let's all sing out loudly, sing out boldly to our God this morning. Give our God a shout of praise this morning. Amen. All right, we need your help with this one. Can we put our hands together? Just clap this beat. Let's do this. Here we go. Here we go. Good. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Here we go. One, Amen. We sing of what God has done in our lives. We celebrate because He has saved us. Let's sing. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. Oh, and just when I choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So, so long to my old friends. Oh, burning in bitterness. You can't just keep on moving. No, you ain't welcome here. Oh, from now till I walk the streets of gold. Another one, I am free, I am free. Let's sing of our freedom, let's sing. Heaven gained another one, I am free, I am free, oh, I am free. Heaven gained another one, I am free, I am free, oh, I am free. It feels good to clap, to move around and celebrate what God's done. And in this space too, it is a good, healthy rhythm to stop after we celebrate it, but also stop and just take a deep breath in God's presence. God is here among us, and when we gather to sing on a Sunday morning, we're not singing into thin air. We're singing to a real God who is really present in the room with us. So in His presence this morning, I encourage you to just take a second, take a deep breath, relax, close your eyes, say a prayer to Him. We're going to start singing again in about a minute or so. But just take this space to take a deep breath in God's presence. Father, this morning we come to you with one voice and we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing in our midst, and all that you will do. God, we bring so many things into this space this morning, and you are a God who calls us to honesty before you. So God, for those of us that are rejoicing this morning, we pray that you would multiply our joys. And meet us in that joy, God. Those of us who are weary and heavy burdened, we know that you are a God who came into this earth and met us in that. So, God, we pray that you would continue to meet us this morning, shape us more and more to be like Jesus. We love you. We pray all of this in your name, and all God's people said.
Amen. All right. Hey, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. It's been so fun worshiping with you, but now's that time to launch. You guys can head out to the atrium. Everyone else, you can go ahead and take a seat. Well, hey, good morning. Good morning to all of you who are here in the room, to those of you who are joining us online. It's so good to be with you this morning. If we haven't met yet, my name's Christian. I'm on staff here at Blackhawk. I work with our Braider Way team and with our spiritual formation team, doing a few different things around here. I get to help with the evening services, which are so fun. I love those. If you haven't checked one out, definitely check one out. One of my favorite parts of my job is getting to help new people get plugged in, or even people who have been around for a while, helping people find their people, helping them find a place to serve, sometimes for the first time, and helping people just to continue learning, whether that's through courses or Bible studies or all these different things. So if that's you, if you're thinking about how to take your next step around here, or maybe you're brand new and you just want to learn a little bit more about who we are, I would love to have a conversation with you. Amy would love to talk to you if you're joining us online this morning, or you can always head out to the info desk. We're always happy to help you find your place and your next step around here. So with that, I have just a couple of quick announcements, some reminders for us as we head into the rest of our service. So the first one is one of my favorite things that we do here around Blackhawk. It's baptism. And there is one coming up this Friday, 7 p.m. here at this site. It's an incredible night just to hear the ways that God's been moving in the lives of people in our community, sometimes for years, to get them to the place of being willing to publicly declare their love for Jesus and their acceptance of him as their savior. So it's a night full of just worship and fun and celebration. I haven't missed one, and I would encourage you to come check one out if you haven't yet. They're open to everyone. It's such a good time. The second thing, if you are an African and you consider Black Hawk Church your home and you'd like to meet other Africans, we have a social gathering coming up, a potluck that's gonna happen next Sunday at noon. So you can invite your friends and your family, bring a dish, or just come hang out and meet other people. So if that's you, we would love to see you there for that. You can find the registration on our webpage, on the events page, so you can check that out there, or you can always go talk to someone at the info desk or drop a question in the chat and we will be able to help you get plugged into that. But that is all I have for us this morning. And so with that, I'm going to pass it off now to Pastor Chris for the message.
All right, welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Black Hawk Church. Welcome to all of you who are in the room with me here at our Brader Way location. Welcome to those of you who are watching maybe at Black Hawk Fitchburg, or you're downtown, or maybe you're one of the other venues here at the Brader Way location. Welcome to you. To our Mandarin-speaking folks, Di Zhong Zime Ping An. To our Spanish-speaking people, bienvenidos at Black Hawk. Last time I spoke, I told you guys that I was going to take a long road trip. And my wife and I took the road trip. We went to Sequoia National Park out in California. And if you've never been there, you should really go. It's like a really, should be on everybody's bucket list. I just love Sequoia National Park. Took a picture of my wife next to one of the trees. And here she is right here. This is my wife. She's that little blue dot down there at the bottom of that tree next to that rock. This is my wife's idea of a good photo of herself right there. Because she hates it. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, I pull the camera out, and she's like, no, don't do that. But when she's next to it, and then she goes, okay, you can take that picture. Okay, that's great. Especially showing the picture to you guys. Most of the time when we tell people that we went to Sequoia, people go, whoa, like, did you fly or drive? So the reason people say that is because most people that we talk to have some geographical sense of distance in the United States. So they know that, you know, California is not right next to Wisconsin. That geographical sense of distance disappears when we open the pages of the Bible. Because when we read about these place names in the Bible, most of us don't have a sense of like where these places actually are and how close or far away they are to each other. The last 6 weeks, we have been looking at this letter that Paul wrote to people who lived in this place called Philippi. Now, Paul is in a jail in Rome, and he's writing to people who live in Philippi. Now, back in that day, everybody would go, whoa. Like, how do you get the letter there? Because Philippi is not close to Rome. It's, if you go by land, it's 800 miles. That would be like, hey, everybody, get up and walk to Atlanta from here. So it takes a while to get a letter from Rome to Philippi. So because I know that most of us don't have a sense of like the chronology of the New Testament and the distance involved, I thought I'd start out with a little map and a little chronological timetable to kind of give you an idea of when Paul actually wrote this letter to the Philippians. So most scholars believe that Jesus died and rose again in 33 AD. And then after that, a number of years went by. And the church ended up becoming centered in Antioch. And then the Apostle Paul left Antioch on one missionary journey to like southern, what we call Turkey, and then came back. Then he took another journey through the middle of what we call Turkey. He hit Philippi and Corinth and other places, and he comes back to Antioch. And then his third missionary journey He does this to raise money for people in Jerusalem. He stays in Ephesus for like 2 years. He writes to the church in Corinth. That's what we call 1 Corinthians. And then he travels, this would be his second time, to Philippi. He travels up to Philippi. And then when from Philippi, he writes his second letter, what we call 2 Corinthians. And then he travels from Philippi down to Corinth. And then he stays in Corinth for a while. And that's when we think he wrote the letter to the people in Rome, called Romans. And then Paul leaves Corinth, goes back again to Philippi. This is one of his favorite places. And then he goes back through Ephesus and back to Jerusalem. And then he makes some people upset and he gets arrested. And then he spends 2 years in a jail in Caesarea. And then he appeals to Caesar. And so he's got to go to Rome for that. So they put him on a boat. He gets on a boat. And then storm happens and he gets shipwrecked. And he lands on the Isle of Malta. And then the Roman soldiers rebuild a boat. That takes a while. And then they travel and they eventually get him to Rome, where he's waiting to see Caesar, and he's in a Roman jail. From there, he writes 4 different letters. They're called the prison epistles. And the letter to the Philippians is one of these prison epistles, probably his last epistle. There's probably about 10 to 12 years that separate Paul's first time in Philippi to when he actually writes the letter. How you guys doing? Did you like the map? Is it helpful a little bit? Yeah, you can shake your head like that. It's okay. It's okay. So I think that's good background. So let's go ahead. Take your Bibles now and turn to the... You know what? Let's not do that. You know, let's not do that. You know, instead of you guys taking your device and going to Philippians right now, you know, let's do something different here. Let's do a little skit. You guys okay with a skit? So it doesn't matter. We're going to do one anyway. So I need some, I need people. So this is a 9 o'clock service. So if someone kind of tapped you on the shoulder and said, would you mind volunteering to be a part of this skit? I need you guys to come up here right now. So the people who are already tapped, come on up here on the platform. Come on up. Yes, yes, yes. Come on up and turn and face the lights. Don't worry. Only a couple thousand people are watching right now. That's good. Awesome. Thank you very much. All right, let's hear it for the volunteers right here. There's a lot of people. Okay, don't stand too far. You got to stand together. You guys are supposed to like each other. Get closer, closer. Okay. All right, I'm going to need some volunteers. Just a second. Have we worked this out?
No.
Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. I need some volunteers. I need somebody to volunteer to be Paul. Who wants to be Paul? Raise your hand, Paul. Paul. Okay, Paul, I need somebody to be Timothy. Who wants to be Timothy? Timothy, all right. Paul and Timothy, I need you guys to come over here. And this is jail. So, Paul, I need you to sit there in jail. And then, Timothy, you're not in jail, but you can visit him whenever you want. Now, Paul is in jail in what city? Listen, when I do this, you can participate. Paul's in jail in what city? Okay, and these people are all a part of what church? Yeah, there you go. So you guys are part of the Philippian church. So I need somebody to hold this sign up right here that says to Philippi. Okay, guys, okay. Okay, all right. So you guys, are you guys okay? Yeah, okay, all right. So you guys hear that Paul, this is your friend, you hear that he's in jail. So this like really bothers you and you want to help him. So you decide the best way to help him would be to like send gifts to him, and you need some people to like be the people who take the gift there. This is like 800 mile walk, okay? So somebody named Epaphroditus volunteers. Who wants to be Epaphroditus? Okay, all right. Epaphroditus, and that's actually Greek for handsome guy, so that's what that means. So you guys send Epaphroditus to Paul in Rome with a bunch of stuff. So there's some suitcases back there. So grab those suitcases. So 2 of you need to walk with him. Who come on, give ladies, come on, volunteer. All right. Give another lady the suitcase, right. All right, so you guys go. Now, you guys go all the way. I'm the Mediterranean Sea. You guys go all the way around here. And you, yeah, go on the other side of Timothy there. That's good. And so as soon as they get there with the gifts, don't push them off the platform, okay? You guys get there with the gifts. How would you respond if you got a bunch of gifts? Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay, all right. That's good, okay. So they're really happy, but something happens on the trip. And we don't exactly know how this happened, but Epaphroditus got really sick. So Epaphroditus, I need you to like act really sick. That moment, don't throw up on the sign. Okay, sick. Just continue to be sick. So Paul wants to tell the people in Philippi that he's almost like dying and stuff like that. So he sends these two people that came with him back to Philippi, but leave the gifts. So you guys go back, that's good. And they travel 800 miles back and they tell the church in Philippi that Epaphroditus almost died. And so how would you guys respond to that? That's good. Act, you guys, act. And then that would cause you guys to, you're Christians. So what would you do if you know he's dying? What would you do? Pray. So this is pray like this, okay, all right. So something, because of their prayers, or we don't know, Epaphroditus gets better, Oh, yeah. And Paul, he wants to let these people know that the guy from their church got better. So Paul writes a letter to the Philippians, gives it to Epaphroditus. That's good. You're doing a good job. And then he takes the letter. Now you go back there. Okay, stop for a second. What is this letter, you guys? It's the letter you have in your laps right now. This is the letter to the Philippians. So you go all the way back. Now when you guys see that, you guys thought this guy was dead. So you guys go, hey, party, come party. Do you guys want a party? Like, awesome. All right, party. So they are super, they honor him and they're so excited to see him. So that makes him happy, makes Paul happy. And Paul says in his letter, hey, when I know that things are gonna get better for me, I'm also gonna send Timothy to you guys. So Timothy, you take off and go. And when Timothy gets there, you guys do what? Yeah, awesome. All right. That's the end of the skit, you guys. Let's hear it for everybody up here. Awesome. Give me your signs. Awesome. So awesome. Yeah. That was cool. Yes. Awesome. Hey, it's actually about humility. That's what this is about. So, that was cool. I had to say, hey, party. They don't know how to party. All right, okay. I think we're ready now to turn to the book of Philippians. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. All right. We'll start reading in verse 19. I think that'll make sense to you guys as we read it now. What Paul's going to do now is he is giving an illustration to the people in Philippi of what humility is actually all about. He's going to write about two people, Timothy first, who he sends second, and then he'll talk about Epaphroditus, who he sends back first. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So, you know, here at Black Hawk Church, we always use this phrase that I borrowed years ago from John Walton, who teaches at Wheaton. The Bible's not written to us, it's written for us. This is a perfect illustration of that. There's not one thing in this paragraph that's directly to Black Hawk Church, or to any other church for that matter. This is written to people in Philippi about Timothy and then about Epaphroditus. And so people know that kind of thing, and they're kind of looking, read the Philippians, and they go, this is just about his travel diary, really. I don't know what, you know, let's move on and get to the good stuff. That would be a mistake. Because what Paul is doing in this letter is he's actually illustrating the kind of people Christ followers should be. And the kind of people that Christ followers should be is humble. So when you say Christ follower, evangelical, Christian, people go, oh, humble. Those are the humble people. And he's going to illustrate that with these two guys. So a couple weeks ago, we read this verse from Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And, you know, I can think of somebody who's like that, and that is Timothy. I mean, this guy is so humble, and he's always putting the concerns of other people above his own. So who's Timothy? So Timothy was Paul's road trip guy, true son in the faith. He's a co-writer of Philippians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, and Philemon, and he's also the recipient of two letters that you have in your Bible, and that's 1 and 2 Timothy. And Timothy was somebody who, well, let's look back at the passage again, who has, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. Let me ask you a question. Do you know people like that? Do you know people who, like, when they say, how are you doing, they really mean it. It's not just a greeting, but they go, no. How are you really doing? They have a genuine concern. How many of you know someone like that? Show of hands. Show of hands. Awesome. You should tell them that. That's kind of the point of this message. We should have eyes to see people who put the needs of others ahead of their own. We should be humble. We shouldn't just be thinking about ourselves all the time. If you know someone who, like, yeah, you're like the real deal, you put other people ahead of your own needs, you should tell them. Text them. Send them a note. Let me ask you a question. You think they'd appreciate that? Yes or no? Yeah. Hey, listen, you guys, life is difficult and at times it's overwhelming. We all need to be encouraged. So you know somebody who puts the needs of other people ahead of their own? Just text them. And if they're actually a Blackhawker, then you can just use code word, hey, you're a Timothy. And I notice that and I appreciate you. All right, let's go to Epaphroditus. That's verse 25. But I think it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. That was the suitcases. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Now, how would they hear that? Well, he must have had some traveling companions that went back. We don't know if it's 2 or 3 or 20. Somebody went back and told him. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. What does Paul say about Epaphroditus? He's not just a brother. He's like, he's my brother. Paul is close to the Philippians. He had a deep affection for these people. He'd been there several times. He loved these people, and they loved him. This is like my brother. He's my coworker, fellow soldier. Paul often used military language to talk about believers who were like in the cause. He puts the other people before him all the time. Now, what else does he say about this? Verse 28. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad, that's the party, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. This is a command. He's telling them in that little letter, hey, when he gets there, you honor him. Honor him. Celebrate him. I mean, he almost died. And he did this because he wants to see the work of the gospel go on. So honor people like that. That brings another question. Who do we honor? Who do we honor as a culture in America? Who? Have you ever heard of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift? Is anybody kind of getting sick of these, you know, like, what are they a couple now? I mean, who really cares? You know, that kind of thing. So like, you know, that's who we honor. We honor celebrities, we honor athletes, we honor YouTubers. Those are the kind of people that we honor. And I'm not like poo-pooing the whole thing. You know, it's okay. I mean, I stand up here from time to time, talk about Cubs and stuff like that. There's something about, athletics and movies and stuff like that. It kind of gives us a sense of community. Heck, just a couple weeks ago, I went to the LeBron Arena at UW and honored the UW women's hockey program because they hoisted the banner for their 7th NCAA championship. So like wow, that's like awesome. So yeah, that's okay, I honor them. I hope they win 7 more or 10 more, you know, that's fantastic. But as Christ followers, okay, that's okay. But we should take it up a notch. Why? Because we're supposed to be humble people. And humble people see things that other people don't see. Do you hear that? Humble people, they're looking. And they're seeing people who other people don't even notice. And they honor those people. At Black Hawk Church, we have a bunch of Epaphroditus people. And in order to talk about who those people are, I've asked our director of Impact Ministry, Susan DeMille, to join me on the platform. Susan, you want to come up here? Awesome. Cheer for Susan. All right, Susan. Hey, first of all, Susan is normally, on Sundays, you're on the online host.
Yep.
On today, you're not. So online people, Susan DeMille, awesome. Yeah, there you go. So Susan, who are some Epaphroditus people at Black Hawk?
Yeah, so we have who we call global and national servants. And so we have about 20 or so, 20 plus of those folks who are serving all over the place. We'll talk about that in a second, doing a lot of different things. Lots of different types of ministries, from outreach to discipleship making, to pouring into youth, to campus ministry, to just you name it. They've got it.
Awesome. So global and national service.
Global and
so where are our global servants at?
So we have a map that'll come up here. This is the approximate location of the servants. Specifically, the global servants are approximate.
So why is it approximate, not like where they actually serve?
Because we are trying to be wise and safe in an unsafe world.
And we're not naive, and we know this is on the internet, and lots of people watch these. You guys following us? So sometimes we don't give you their whole names or specifically where they're located, and that's because Susan and their team are doing their job. We're trying to actually protect people. So who are our global servants?
Yeah, so we have a photo collage that's gonna show up. Look at all those lovely people. There's a couple people missing, again, because of safety reasons that we're not even showing their photo, but these all you can see. And the one in the middle, smack in the middle, the guy and gal and the two cute little boys, we actually have a video that they made for us specifically.
Or today, so let's watch that.
Hello, Blackhawk. We are Rizvan and Alyssa Savu, and we serve the Lord in Craiova, Romania.
I was born and raised in Romania, and after God saved me in high school, I started getting involved in ministry.
And I grew up in Kansas, where God slowly led me to become a missionary in Romania, starting in 2011. A few years later, I met Rizvan. We got married and continued to serve the Lord for several years before he led us back to the States.
While we were serving in Kansas, working with high school and college students, God began to impress upon our hearts the need and the desire to move to Romania because the workers here are few, and there's very few Christians. There's actually 0.3% Christ followers in Craiova where we live.
So now we're here serving and seeking to make disciples of youth, college students, and young adults.
Thank you for your generosity, your encouragement, your love, and your willingness to be part of what God is doing here in Craiova, in us and through us.
Hey, all sides and venues, let's hear it for those folks right there, yeah. Hey, you know what? They can't hear that. So why don't we make a little selfie video, like right now, to send to them. Is that a good idea? So I know we have people that are online right now and different sites and stuff like that. So those of you who are not in this specific room, your host will give you instructions in just a minute about a video that you're going to make in your rooms. But we're going to make this video right now here to this couple. So here we go. Rizvan and Alyssa, thank you so much. And we just love you guys so much. Let me stop this right now. I forgot to tell you guys what to say. So I'm going to point to you, and when I point to you, I want you to say, thank you, we love you. All right, that's your part. I didn't do a good job on my part, so this is your part. So I'm going to point to you and say, thank you, we love you. Just try it.
Thank you, we love you.
Do it again.
Thank you, we love you.
All right, try this again. Alyssa, Rizvan, hey. Greetings from Blackhawk Church. Thanks for the message that you sent to us. We have a message for you. Here it is.
Thank you. We love you.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Hey, we love you guys. Thanks so much for being there. Awesome. Awesome. Naturally, that would happen during the online. At any rate, hey, good job. So we have lots of global servants, and if you're at one of the other sites or venues, we're going to make enough of these selfies for all of our global servants to get one today. Yep. So we also have national servants. Just tell us about those folks.
Yeah, so actually, there's the list of their names. Some of these folks actually go to Blackhawk and might be in a venue this very minute.
Yes, awesome. So we have lots of venues and sites. So if you're a national servant, your name is up there, please stand so that we can, whatever side or venue you're at, please stand so we can recognize you. Anybody in the room right here? They may be in other rooms. Let's hear it for them right now. Awesome. Okay, that's good. Okay. So obviously this is kind of a special thing. We're doing video and clapping and stuff like that. But what are things that people can regularly do to show that we appreciate these different Epaphroditus people?
Okay, great. It's a great question. Three specific things. One is giving to the general fund. If you do that, you actually are a part of what we're already doing, supporting financially these folks. So that's really cool. If you aren't yet, join in. A portion of what you give goes to supporting all these people that we're talking about in these great ministries that is just way too, will take way too long to explain, but you can read about on your own. Number two, you can encourage, specifically connect and encourage them. And how you do that is you sign up for what we call our Global and National Servant Encouragement Team. It's a very long name. But what happens when you sign up is we will connect you one-on-one with one of these global and national servants where you can on a regular basis get to know them and encourage them. Third thing, pray. We can all do that. Prayer is very important. So one of the things that you can do with that is you click on our impact prayer list on the website, and we'll send you regular updates about those prayer requests.
So how do they find that on our website?
I think we got a QR code coming up.
Yeah, there you go. So if it's you guys taking this seriously, you pull out your phones right now and take a photo of that QR code. And that will go right to the impact page. And you can go ahead and directly encourage many of these global and national servants who serve in a sacrificial way all the time. So these people come here to Blackhawk from time to time, right?
Yes, sometimes some of the global servants will stop by, you know, when they're in the States. And they'll come and we'll try to set up a time for them to actually share some of their stories, for you to meet with them, that kind of thing. And it's really cool.
You know, that just happened in early September. And normally it happens here at the Brader Way site, right? So people have to come to this site. But Susan and her team, they advertise that the global servant is going to be in the room. And in early September, two friends of mine, Molly and Jim, they're unbelievably great people, actually visited them several years ago. They live in a place that's in the news every day now. They live in an extremely dangerous place. You guys understand what I'm saying? Very dangerous. They're in danger. And when they came, they shared about their ministry and things like that. And you know what? There was only a handful of people in the room. That's just sad. So when you see advertised that a global servant is coming here, they're like big deal people. And you should like change your schedule and show up in one of those rooms. Because what happens is that you get your mind off of Madison really quickly. And you get your mind on the world, and you start to understand what's going on in the world from people who are sacrificially, they're sacrificing their lives for the sake of the gospel. And they are really great people. So let's hear it for Susan and her team who connect us to those folks. Awesome. Hey, the point of today's talk is that we should be the kind of people who are humble. We're humble people. We practice humility. We put the needs of other people ahead of our own needs. Here's this verse again from Philippians 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of other people. Two illustrations of that in the letter to the Philippians was Timothy and Epaphroditus. We should be people, you guys, who have the eyes to see those people. Everybody knows who Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are, right? Okay, fine. We should have the eyes to see people who are behind the scenes, who are serving and doing things that nobody else calls attention to. We should see them. We should have the eyes to see them. We should be humble enough to do that. So it might be someone who was instrumental in helping you come to faith in Christ. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was a parent, a friend. Maybe it was a mentor, a coach. You guys, life is difficult and times is overwhelming. Send them a note. Send them a text. Send them an email. Somebody who has helped you, have gone out of their way to help you in your walk with Christ. Send them a text. Send them a note. Be the kind of people who is like Paul, has the eyes to see people who are serving. Everybody in the world is going to pay attention to the celebrities. Christ followers, we should be different. We should look to those people who are behind the scenes and they're sacrificing for the sake of the gospel. Paul wrote a prayer in the very first part of the letter, and it's a prayer that we're actually trying to get you guys to memorize. And really, what he's doing in this part of the letter is actually kind of fulfilling what he's saying in this prayer. And this prayer will be the way I close the sermon here. This is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you might be able to discern what is best. May be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and the praise of God. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Will you stand and join us in singing? Lord, make us one, humble and gentle, with mercy for all. Lord, make us one, Lord, make us one. This is the kingdom living in us.
Sacrificially, their safety, their time, their talents, their money, all sorts of things for the sake of the advancement of the gospel. And some of those stories, you guys, we cannot talk about them on a Sunday morning. We cannot post about them online. The only way to hear about them is to be in the room with these servants when they come to visit. So I encourage you to keep an eye out or to get to know one of them personally through the encouragement team. But in any way, however you get connected, definitely be praying for these people who are seeing God move in such incredible ways in the midst of incredible hardship. I want to close our time together with the same benediction that Chris just gave It's from the verse that we're all trying to memorize, which if you're still working on that, we still have cards available, physical cards you can take with you that help you to memorize it. It's in English, Spanish, and Mandarin. We also have an online version, so you can save it as a lock screen on your phone. So every time you see your phone, you're seeing that benediction, that prayer, so that you're meditating on it and it's shaping the way that you interact daily in the world. So this is that benediction. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you might be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, go in peace.